Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Well, it's an honor for me to have this conversation with Joseph Lindsley, editor, Ukrainian Freedom News, and founder of Lviv Lab for Activation of Democracy. How you doing, Joseph?
Steve, Merry Christmas to you. Hello from Lviv in Western Ukraine, and I'm good now. We had several hours of an air alarm today, but nothing happened from the sky. Usually when these alarms happen, it means there's Russian aircraft activity. Over Christmas weekend, there was a mysterious event that happened at the Ingalls Air Force Base, 370 miles deep into Russia from the Ukrainian border. There was a drone that hit the base. From Ingalls is one of the main places from which the Russians have been attacking Ukraine. So whatever happened there, and there are scattered reports, there could be different intelligence operatives under deep cover working to sabotage the Russian bases. It seems that perhaps Russia had to move some of their jets to other bases. But anytime Russian aircraft are flying around in the current reality we have, the whole country goes into air alarm. And even on Christmas Eve, on Saturday, in the recently liberated city of Kherson, there was a Russian attack and horrible. Civilians were killed in the street. So while generally the skies have been peaceful, we still have had some carnage, and the fighting continues at the front lines, especially in that city of Bakhmut.
Well, needless to say, everything you describe is horrible. Did I hear you right to say there was an attack in Russia within their geography, within the confines of their border? And if so, it was or was not Ukraine who attacked?
It's ambiguous as to what exactly happened. This has been happening a few times recently. The Ingalls Air Force Base, named after a communist hero in Russia, is one of the main places where their bombers are housed. And there was a drone strike. You can see videos of it. And some reports indicate that a lot of the infrastructure there was taken out. We can't really confirm that. But yes, deep into Russian territory. So this is, you know, potentially a very good sign. And because there has been a feeling for weeks that Russia is preparing its next major attack. Some are saying that these drone strikes, whatever they might be, on Russian air bases, not just Ingalls, but a couple others, are slowing down Russians' ability to hit Ukraine. So we watch it very carefully. There's still a lot we don't know about it.
By weaponizing winter, which is, of course, what Russia has done, and that term has been used a lot, what is the feeling of people in Ukraine? Are they getting to the point where really, I mean, if you go without heat and you're in the dark constantly and it's as cold there as it is, and incidentally, I want to know how cold it is there, are people finally losing their spirit or not?
Well, first, fortunately, we have a little stretch of relatively balmy weather. It's in the 40s now, or high 30s, but usually it's quite cold, and we can expect it to get colder, kind of similar to what you're experiencing there. But I mean, it's difficult. So this is Christmas season now. Most Ukrainians will celebrate Christmas officially starting January 7th. But over this past weekend, many people took the opportunity to celebrate Western Christmas. And I think it's for that very reason, to keep the spirits boosted. And so I went to various dinners and houses over the weekend to talk with friends, including a gathering of soldiers. And we were sharing our conversations and struggles. One friend said, "This is the way of our survival. Staying together, talking with each other about, you know, all the challenges we face." And I went to yesterday. There was a poetry reading with soldiers and musicians and all kinds of people gathered together with tears and laughter to share what they're going through in this time. And that is really, that's how people stay strong and give each other energy. I went last evening to there was a cafe sort of in Lviv's creative quarter. It's called Armenian Street, Verminska Street. The Cafe Fonsetka, and I was speaking with people, and everyone has this heaviness and a weariness, and you know, it's not easy. It's very difficult, and we're facing this long winter ahead. And then three kids came in about 10 o'clock at night, right before everything was closing for curfew. And the three kids came in and they started to sing a Christmas carol. And even in their voices, they sounded tired. Because I've been in Ukraine for Christmas before, and you can hear the tiredness. But the kids sang, "Good evening to you, rejoice, oh, rejoice, earth, the Son of God was born. Cover the tables and everything with carpets, rejoice, because three holidays will come to visit you, rejoice." And people sang. You could see the smile sort of coming to people's faces as they sang with these three kids, and they gave them money. But in that moment, you can see sort of the nexus of tiredness and weariness, but also that will and the joy for life and that deep will to keep living and never to quit.
Tell me about Zelensky's visit to the United States. How was that viewed in Ukraine?
Very positively. I think it was seen that he really represents all the people here. And I think, you know, sometimes in some of the criticism I see in America, you know, obviously, you know, everything's expensive. And, the people who were saying Zelensky was asking for money and for support. But really, it's the Ukrainian people. And you know, Zelensky serves at the pleasure of the people. Ukraine is a fiercely democratic country. And so I think as I watched it, I thought, I mean, compared to when Winston Churchill 81 years ago from yesterday spoke in the same place, there were so many strong parallels between those speeches by two leaders of nations that were facing existential threats. And Zelensky also very well said, you know, this is not just a threat for Ukraine, but for the stability and freedom of the whole world. And I think he made that case very clearly. And people here were, all of these things give people additional energy to keep going. And so, you know, and everyone has their part to play. And that's why before Zelensky went to Washington, he went to that city of Bakhmut. And you know, this, you know, that's what some of the most intense fighting, you know, in human history is happening. And he went there first. He wouldn't forget that as he was speaking to Washington. And by the way, I just saw footage of Bakhmut. I was in that city in June. It's unrecognizable. It's just smoldering ruins from one of our reporters. And there was one little shop that was still open with volunteers, and they were serving people, food and hot drinks. And they somehow set up a Christmas tree, as you can hear the shelling happening all around. And you see the smoldering buildings. It really is a nightmare there.
Yeah, this whole thing is a nightmare, but it's important that people like you communicate everything that is happening. So I'm so grateful for that. And, you know, in America, as you know, I could be talking to someone in Chicago, and it's an expression where you say at the end of a phone call, stay safe. But for you, it has an altogether different meaning. So say safe, Joseph Lindsley. Thank you so much for again checking in.
Thank you, Steve. And I think we'll add to stay safe because, you know, you got to keep positive, but stay free too. Stay free and happy and safe.